Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in 2 Kings chapter 23. So true to form, 2 Kings leaves us with a bit of a cliffhanger. And we don't know what Hosea is going to do next after finding the Book of the Law. That term, by the way, came from the old cereals. Cliffhanger, I mean. No, not from Fruit Loops and Raisin Bran, not those kinds of cereals. I mean the cereal films, the mini-adventures that lasted a couple of minutes and ran in cereal fashion at the beginning of each movie. Kids in the 40s and 50s growing up would watch a few minutes of The Lone Ranger, or Buck Rogers, or Dick Tracy. The infamous car drives off a cliff scene, frozen and suspended in midair as the announcer comes on to say, "Will our hero survive the fall into the ocean? Will he think of something in the nick of time? Or will it be curtains for the Masked Avenger? Join us next month for the adventures of Hosea." Thus, the cliffhanger was born. In yesterday's episode, we read what Hosea read, and then we read the messages he heard back from God in response to his response. Well, in this chapter, we get to see what Hosea rolls up his sleeves and does after that. Like a Flash Gordon serial, Hosea's actions pull the nation out of a nosedive temporarily, buying back time before the Babylonians come in and wipe them out. We're told in verse 1, "Then the king called together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. He went up to the temple of the Lord with the people of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets, all the people from the least to the greatest. He read in their hearing all of the words of the Book of the Covenant, which had been found in the temple of the Lord. The king stood by the pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord to follow the Lord and keep his commands, statutes, and decrees with all his heart and all his soul, thus confirming the words of the covenant written in this book. Then all the people pledged themselves to the covenant. The king ordered Hilkiah the high priest, the priests next in rank, and the doorkeepers to remove from the temple of the Lord all the articles made for Baal and Asherah and the starry hosts. He burned them outside of Jerusalem in the fields of the Kidron Valley, and he took the ashes of Bethel. He did away with the idolatrous priests appointed by the kings of Judah to burn incense on the high places of the towns of Judah and on those around Jerusalem. Those who burn incense to Baal and the sun and the moon to the constellations and all the starry hosts. He took the Asherah pole from the temple of the Lord to the Kidron Valley outside Jerusalem and burned it there. He ground it to powder and scattered the dust over the graves of the common people. He also tore down the quarters of the male shrine prostitutes that were in the temple of the Lord, the quarters where women did weaving for Asherah. Hosea brought all the priests from the towns of Judah and desecrated the high places from Geba to Beersheba, where the priests had burned incense. He broke down the gateway at the entrance of the gate of Joshua, the city governor, which was on the left of the city gate. Although the priests of the high places did not serve at the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, they ate unleavened bread with their fellow priests. He desecrated Topheth, which was in the valley of Ben-Hinnom, so no one could use it to sacrifice their son or daughter in the fire of Molech. He removed from the entrance to the temple of the Lord the horses that the king of Judah had dedicated to the sun. There were in the court near the room of an official named Nathan-Melech. Josiah burned the chariots dedicated to the sun. He pulled down the altars of the kings of Judah erected on the roof near the upper room of Ahaz, and the altars Manasseh had built in the two courts of the temple of the Lord. He removed them from there, smashed them to pieces, and threw the rubble into the Kidron Valley. The king also desecrated the high places that were east of Jerusalem on the south of the Hill of Corruption, the one Solomon, king of Israel, had built for Ashtoreth, the vile goddess of the Sidonians, for Chemosh, the vile god of Moab, and Molech, the detestable god of the people of Ammon. Hosea smashed the sacred stones and cut down the Asherah poles and covered the site with human bones. Even the altar at Bethel, the high place made by Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who had called Israel to sin, even that altar and high place he demolished. He buried the high place and ground it to powder and burnt the Asherah pole also. Then Josiah looked around, and when he saw the tombs that were there on the hillside, he had those bones removed from them and burned on the altar to defile it in accordance with the word of the Lord proclaimed by the man of God who foretold these things. The king asked, "What is that tombstone I see?" The people of the city said it marks the tomb of the man of God who came from Judah and pronounced against the altar of Bethel the very things you have done to it. Leave it alone, he said. Don't let anyone disturb his bones. So they spared his bones and those of the prophet who had come from Samaria. Just as he had done at Bethel, Josiah removed all the shrines of the high places that the king of Israel had built in the towns of Samaria and that had aroused the Lord's anger. Josiah slaughtered all the priests of those high places on the altars and burned human bones on them. Then he went back to Jerusalem. The king gave this order to all the people: celebrate the Passover to the Lord your God as it is written in this book of the covenant. Neither the days of the judges who led in Israel, nor in the days of the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah, has there been any such Passover observed as been as commanded. But in the 18th year of King Josiah, this Passover was celebrated to the Lord in Jerusalem. Furthermore, Josiah got rid of the mediums and spiritists, the household gods, the idols, and all other detestable things seen in Judah and Jerusalem. This he did to fulfill the requirements of the law written in the book that Hilkiah the priest had discovered in the temple of the Lord. Neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did, and with all his heart, and with all his soul, and with all his strength, in accordance with the law of Moses. Well, I don't know what you'd call that, but I would call that repentance. And repentance means turning around and going the other way. Josiah does what the other kings before him weren't willing to do. He doesn't just go in half measures. He declares total and complete war on idolatry. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been so sick and fed up with sin that you do whatever it took to get rid of it? Well, the passage ends with the celebration of the Passover, or the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. In the lead up to the Passover, the people had to go through their house the week before and gather up all the leaven they found in the house and completely get rid of it. That's right, no dinner rolls with dinner. Leaven or yeast, you see, was a picture of sin. Yeast, by the way, is a type of bacteria that spreads like a disease and causes the bread to rise. Well, because yeast spreads and infects, it becomes a great picture of sin in the Bible. So before the Feast of Passover, they were told to get rid of it. And that's because the Passover is a picture of the body and blood of Jesus, the place where God actually deals with our sin through His Son. The bread represents His body, which had no sin in it whatsoever. Therefore, the bread that they were to celebrate with couldn't have any yeast, the picture of sin, into it. And that meant that the bread wouldn't rise. Unlike Jesus, who did. But once we've seen what Christ has done for us, believer, we can't go on sinning like we once did. When we truly understand the gospel and His great love for us and what He did for us on the cross, we will do all within our power to rid ourselves of the disgustingness within us that made the cross necessary. That's why we're told about these gods that this one was utterly detestable and this one was disgusting. When we see sin the way God sees it, and what Christ had to do to take care of it, we know that it's disgusting. And that's what repentance really is. It's agreeing with God about sin. Have you ever come to the point where you finally give up and say, you know, God, for a while there I was kind of holding out for sin a little bit, but now I start to see how much it corrupts me and enslaves me and is terrible for me. Well, believer, how far will you go this morning in your battle against sin? Hebrews asks us to remember that since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinners, so you will not grow weary and lose heart. And in your struggle against sin, Hebrews 12 verse 4 says, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Well, it probably will never come to that for you, but as you read 2 Kings chapter 23 today, be ever so grateful that Christ did it for you. And we'll see you tomorrow on Through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.